Friday, June 19th, 11 o'clock a.m. Royal Genovian Academy. Courtyard. Well, I'm definitely not on vacation anymore. When Rocky and I left for school this morning, we go in the same car now. There were so many reporters, news vans, and tourists camped out in front of the palace, hoping to catch a glimpse of the many royals and celebrities who will be attending tomorrow's festivities. The Royal Genovian Guards had to come out mounted on horses to shoo them aside to open the gates. Now there are apparently even more people and news vans crowded around the palace than there were before, so the royal motorcade bringing Mia and Michael here to school to watch our performance of All Roads Lead to Genovia is running late. I don't know what it is about a royal wedding that makes people go so bananas. And the ceremony is still 24 hours away. I'm just sad that Nishi is missing all this. She wouldn't get out of bed this morning in time for the limo. Her mom says it's jet lag, but I think we might actually have overdone things a little on Nishi's first day in Genovia. Not only did we go everywhere in the palace, ride Chrissy, go swimming, talk for hours, and eat about 7 pounds of Genovian pastry each, but my sister and her friends ended up joining us by the pool for her bachelorette party, and it went on and on for hours, into the nighttime even. I could still hear them laughing and splashing when I went to bed, and that was long after Nishi fell fast asleep on her sun lounger without even having had any dinner. Nishi's mom had to ask Lars, Mia's bodyguard, to pick her up and carry her to her room because she was worried Nishi would catch a cold in her wet bathing suit. Nishi's dad couldn't do it because he has back problems. My sister promised that if Nishi gets ready in time, she can come to school with Mia and Michael for the surprise. Actually, though, I'll be all right if Nishi doesn't come. Seeing all the people screaming excitedly outside the limo is one thing, but seeing me in my national costume of Genovia is another. Maybe it's better if Nishi doesn't see that. It might be better if no one sees it. It might be better if Mia and Michael have to turn around and go back to the palace because the traffic is so terrible and this whole performance gets canceled. I know that's a terrible thing to write or even feel, but I mean it. This is going to be a disaster. Rocky and I kept our national costumes at school so the surprise wouldn't be spoiled. But now I'm kind of wondering if that was such a good idea, because I think if I had shown my dirndl to Francesca, my personal wardrobe consultant, she could have tailored it to fit me better. It's much tighter than I remember it being when I first tried it on, and the puffy skirt is really itchy. But a royal is never supposed to scratch in public. I'm not the only one who is trying not to scratch. All of us girls are pretty miserable about it, especially since all we're doing is sitting here, waiting. It's not fair, because the boys look really comfortable in their lederhosen. Even Rocky, who threw the biggest fit about them. He looks like an elf. Everyone is saying so. Since it's the last day of school, and also a special occasion, and also because the motorcade is running late, Madame Alain has let us have our cell phones, only until the princess and her entourage arrive, and if we promise not to mess up our national costumes. All the girls want to take selfies with Rocky, even the high school girls. Queen Amina called him adorable and lifted him up high into the air. And Rocky doesn't even mind. I can tell because he hasn't mentioned farting or dinosaurs once, although this might be because he shifted his full attention to iguanas now instead. The only person who seemed to mind was Luisa. "Disgusting. He isn't even royal," I heard her mutter. This made me mad, but I didn't say anything because I'm trying to be more understanding and tolerant of Luisa now that I know about her parents. If there's one thing I've learned since becoming a princess, it's that being gracious and kind to others who are less fortunate than you is important. and usually your kindness will be returned in the form of others being kind to you, like Prince Khalil helping with the iguana problem at the palace. So maybe the mean, bossy snobs like Louisa will get the message and start trying to be more like the person I aspire to be. Although I'm not sure how well this plan is working, Louisa doesn't even seem to have noticed how kind I am to everyone, let alone that I'm being kind to her. And I think I might have been a little too kind to Prince Gunther. No matter how many times I tell him we're just friends, he still thinks there's a chance I might change my mind and visit him in Stockerdorfel.
Lederhosen are what we normally wear there,
he told me while Victorine was making us pose together for a photo.
For relaxation and for sport. That is why I am so relaxed in them. When you come to visit me this summer, Princess Olivia, you'll see.
Ugh. Victorine thought this was very funny. She and Marguerite think Prince Gunther looks very hot in his lederhosen. Louisa says Prince Khalil looks hotter. I said it's not a contest. It's important for princesses to be diplomatic. But I was lying. Of course Prince Khalil looks hotter. Prince Khalil is definitely the cutest boy in the sixth grade. Not that I like him. I'm only saying that from an artist's point of view, Prince Khalil is better looking than Prince Gunther. And, of course, Prince Khalil doesn't have green hair. So it would be very nice if Prince Gunther and my cousin Louisa would stop embarrassing me in front of him. I still don't want to hurt Prince Gunther's feelings or anything, but there is no way I'm going to Stockerdorfel over the summer to visit him. So, in response to his invitation, the third time he's asked me, I said, "I don't know, Prince Gunther. My sister is leaving for her honeymoon, and she asked me to take care of her cat, Fat Louie, while she's away. She's going to be gone for a very long time. 2 weeks."
"Oh," he said. "Well, when she gets back, then."
"Yes, but then she's going to have her formal coronation, accepting the throne from my dad. It's a whole big thing, and obviously I have to be here for that."
"Of course," he said. "But then after that..."
"Well, after that she's having twins, and I'm probably going to help her take care of them and run the country while she's on maternity leave and stuff. It might be very hard for me to get away. Maybe we can write instead." He looked kind of surprised, but in a good way.
"Write? Like letters? I love to write letters. I'm very good at writing letters and texting. Maybe we can do both."
So now I'm going to have to write letters and texts with Prince Gunther over summer break. But I don't mind. It's better than going to visit him. "Great," I said. "Well, goodbye." I held out my hand.
"Goodbye?"
He looked surprised again, but this time, not in a good way.
"Why goodbye?"
"Because after the performance, I'm probably going to have to leave in a rush," I said, "to go home to start getting ready for my sister's wedding. So we should just say goodbye now."
"Oh,"
he said, and shook my hand. Fortunately, since I'd given him my lecture about being more careful with his flexing, he didn't crush my fingers into tiny sausages.
"Auf Wiedersehen, Your Highness."
"Auf Wiedersehen," I said. Phew, I'm glad that's over, especially since the motorcade is here. Can't wait to get finished with this performance so I can go home and have mani-pedis with Nishi and my sister. Be done with the Royal Genovian Academy for the whole summer. Finally get out of this stupid costume. Never sing All Roads Lead to Genovia again. Never, ever dance with Prince Gunther again. Or even see him again until September. Yay! Friday, June 19th, 2:30 p.m. Royal Genovian Palace. Well, that did not go well. Or I guess the problem is that it went too well, because my sister loved the RGA's performance of All Roads Lead to Genovia. She loved it so much that she's invited all the students and teachers at the RGA to her wedding reception, where she says she really, really hopes we'll perform All Roads Lead to Genovia again, because it is now her favorite song. Madame Hélène says this is a huge honor. Frankly, I don't agree. Not that I don't think my sister really, really enjoyed our performance. I know she did. When I came up to her afterward, she was crying because she was so moved. "Oh, no," I cried. "What's wrong?" I thought maybe she'd shut her finger in a door or something. The doors at the RGA are very old and heavy, just like the ones in the palace. It would be easy to smash your finger in one. But that wasn't it at all. Mia grabbed and hugged me and said, "That was the funniest, I mean, best thing I've ever seen in my life. You guys were so, so good." And then I saw that she was laughing. So was Michael. Both of them were laughing so hard that they were crying. I don't know what about our performance made them laugh. All Roads Lead to Genovia is quite a serious song. It isn't supposed to be funny. But I guess it's good that they enjoyed it, especially since it was their wedding gift. Only now I have to sing it and dance it again. And everyone I know at school is going to be at my house, just like Dad said was going to happen, including Gunther. And I know it's a very big house, a palace, actually, with a lot of rooms in which I can hide from him if I have to. But I wasn't planning on having to hide from him at all, especially at my sister's wedding. I was planning on having a good time. Even worse, Luisa pointed out just now that Gunther could ask me to dance with him. "And not promenade Genovian style either, Olivia," she teased, "but slow dance in the moonlight in the royal gardens."
"Oh,"
Victorine and Marguerite said. Then they burst out laughing. I really don't see what's so funny about any of this, even though I'm a Sagittarius and we're supposed to see the bright side of things. But I guess I don't have a choice. We're in the gardens right now, having aromatic salt rubs done on our hands and feet, and our finger and toenails painted blush pink. Obviously, I wanted to get mine done bright yellow with purple sparkle polka dots, but we have to get what Paolo, the style consultant, says. And he says we're all getting blush pink, so we'll match tomorrow on television. We're each getting different hairstyles, though, with flower arrangements in our curls.
"Because every woman is unique," Paolo says, "like the flower."
I like this idea. I wonder what kind of flower I am. I think I'm a daisy. Daisies are cheerful but reliable. I'm not saying anything to my sister about how inviting my entire school to her wedding may not have been the best idea, even though I don't think it was, because Mia is in the first really good mood I've seen her in all week, and I don't want to add to her stress. I guess it's one thing to be called the world's prettiest princess bride by RateTheRoyals.com, but it's quite another actually to have to be a princess bride and have people coming up to you going, "Princess, we don't have a school for all the refugee children now that we have housing for them. What should we do?" And, "Princess, we don't have enough food for all the wedding guests. What should we do?" When I went to grab Snowball out of the kitchens, I knew she was in there. Fortunately, I caught her before anyone noticed. Now I'm keeping her on a leash next to my sun lounger. I overheard Chef Bernard freaking out.
"I just got the last shipment of spiny lobsters in all of Southern Europe," Chef Bernard was yelling. "How am I going to stretch it out to feed 700 people? How?
I know Mia thought she was doing a kind thing, inviting everyone from the RGA to the reception, especially since we so touched her with our moving vocal and dance performance. But not everyone is happy about it, like Chef Bernard, for instance, or me. Oh well, I guess that's not the point. Spreading joy throughout the land is. Prince Gunther is super happy about it. He's already texted me 3 times while I've been writing this to say how excited he is. HRH Prince Gunther.
Princess Olivia, when I see you tomorrow, I will have a surprise for you that I think you will like.
Olivia Grace. Thanks, Gunther. That's really, really, really nice of you. But you don't need to do that.
No, this I want to do, because you have been so kind to me.
Oh, no. What could the surprise be? I just showed this text to Nishi, and she went, "Aw, I want a prince to bring me a surprise."
I know what it is, Louisa said from her sun lounger. Skis.
Then she and Victorine and Marguerite laughed uproariously.
Stop it, Louisa, I said. It's not going to be skis.
At least, I hope not.
What are you girls laughing about? My sister's friend Tina wanted to know.
Nothing, we all said in unison, because it didn't seem very princessy to talk about boys in front of grown-ups.
Oh, she said, I thought it might be Boris P., because you know he's going to be here any minute. Not that I care.
It was awesome of her to say this, because it distracted Louisa and the other girls away from me and the Gunther situation. They all started squealing excitedly about Boris P., because it turns out he's a really big rock star, even in Genovia, where people are more interested in royalty than they are in rock stars, generally. At least people like Grandmère. I feel kind of bad that we didn't invite Prince Gunther's parents to the wedding. But he said, in another text that I just got, number 4, that they couldn't have come due to being at a yoga retreat in India. He was going to have to stay at school all weekend anyway, because his parents weren't coming to pick him up until Monday, partly due to not being home, and partly due to having heard the traffic in and around Genovia tomorrow was going to be so bad, thanks to the wedding. They've already issued warnings up and down the coast about it. Poor Gunther. But when I mentioned this to Grandmère just now, about the traffic warnings, she got excited instead of concerned. She started bragging to everyone who would listen, gesturing so violently with her hands that Rommel, who was sitting on her lap as she got her toenails done, almost fell off.
"Traffic jams along the coast," she cried to Michael's mom, Dr. Moskowitz, who was sitting on the sun lounger next to her. "Did you hear? Traffic jams along the coast."
"Oh," Dr. Moskowitz said, looking bewildered. "Is that a good thing?"
"Of course it is,"
Grandmère shouted.
"It's a tremendous thing. It's a spectacular thing. More traffic means tourist dollars for Genovia. This wedding is going to save this country from financial ruin."
"Oh," Dr. Moskowitz said, smiling. "How lovely. I'm delighted my son could help." I'm glad Grandmère is in such a good mood. And things are only getting better, since Sebastiano really liked her idea about dyeing all the bridesmaid dresses purple. He just came over to the side of the pool and said,
"Look at these beaut ladies. You are look like the mermaids by the Crystal Grotto."
My cousin Sebastiano, the fashion designer, speaks about as much English as I speak Italian, and often remembers only the first syllable of words. Louisa and Victorine and Marguerite and Nishi and Mia's friends asked Sebastiano if their dresses were ready, and he said,
"Si."
"Si" is yes in Italian.
"They are ready, and are even more beaut than you will remember."
Then I saw him wink at Grandmère, who only smiled mysteriously. A royal never winks. Which must mean the dye worked. Everyone is going to be so surprised.
especially Mia. But surprised in a good way, hopefully, like she was with the All Roads Lead to Genovia performance. I just wish I could figure out what to give Mia and Michael as a wedding present, because I really don't think a dance in dirndls makes a good present for anyone. Friday, June 19th, 4 o'clock p.m., Royal Throne Room, wedding rehearsal. I cannot believe my cousin Louisa. Seriously, I cannot believe someone like her actually exists. I know it's not completely her fault because she has an unhappy home life, at least according to Princess Komiko and Grand Mère, too, if everything she said about Louisa's grandmother, the Baroness, is true. But that doesn't give her an excuse to act like a complete brat. Everything was going fine. We were getting along pretty well at the pool, until it was time to get dressed and go to the wedding rehearsal. It wasn't a dress rehearsal, so no one has seen their bridesmaid dresses yet, thank goodness, because we don't need any more drama, which is apparently what Louisa specializes in. But it was the first time we'd seen the boys since the performance this morning. Well, one boy in particular. You can guess which one. Okay, Prince Khalil. For some reason, when the boys were around, Michael and my dad and Rocky and the rest of the groomsmen, meaning you-know-who, Prince Khalil, some of the girls in the wedding party began to act a little bit silly, doing the whip and nay-nay down the aisle instead of walking with proper grace and decorum, like Vivian, the director of palace affairs, instructed us. Okay, one girl in the wedding party started doing this, Lady Louisa Ferrari. She wouldn't take anything that Vivian was saying seriously. She kept goofing off, especially any time she had to walk in front of me and Nishi, which was basically all the time. The way the royal wedding worked was the boys walked down the aisle first after the prime minister, who's the person who will be marrying Mia and Michael tomorrow. So first the groomsmen and Michael, then Rocky with the rings. For the rehearsal, they were using fake ones, thank goodness, so there was less chance of his losing them. Then the bridesmaids went. Then the junior bridesmaids, Victorine, Marguerite, and Louisa. Louisa and Victorine and Marguerite were supposed to scatter flower petals on the red carpet in front of my sister. White flower petals, not purple ones. Grandmère and I agreed that white flower petals would look better on the red carpet than purple ones. Then, Mia, escorted by her mom and dad, in Genovia, it's traditional for both of the bride's parents to give her away, walked down the long aisle, followed by me and Nishi, holding the 15-foot train to Mia's bridal gown. Only for rehearsal, Mia was wearing a 15-foot tablecloth as her train, because it's bad luck for the groom to see the bride in her wedding gown before the big day, so that Nishi and I could get a feel for it, and so that the television people could figure out where to put their lights and cameras and everything. So it was super annoying that Louisa was goofing off as much as she was, since some of us had serious practicing to do, and also because her goofing off kept making Victorine and Marguerite laugh, and then they weren't concentrating either. Also, I personally don't think it impressed Prince Khalil at all. He didn't even seem to notice. He was standing up at the front of the throne room with Michael and Boris P. and the rest of the groomsmen, showing photos on his cell phone to Rocky. Probably photos of snakes and amphibians, based on Rocky's excited expression. Of course, I understand why Louisa was trying so hard to get his attention. When she saw Prince Khalil, Nishi dug her nails into me and said, OMG, Olivia, he's so cute. Why didn't you tell me? But still, no matter how cute Prince Khalil might be, Louisa was trying to get his attention in the wrong way. It wasn't very royal of her to waste everyone's time, especially during a wedding rehearsal, when we all wanted to be somewhere else, like the pool, or, in the case of the Prime Minister, actually had somewhere important to be, such as her job. Finally, Grand-Mère had to say, in a voice so cold that it echoed through the throne room,
"Louisa Ferrari, perhaps you would prefer to attend this wedding as a guest rather than a junior bridesmaid."
Only then did Louisa stop acting so full of herself. "Pardon me, Your Majesty," she said, and curtsied. Ha! Only instead of admitting she'd been in the wrong, Louisa came running over to me while we were sitting in the hallway, while the TV people were working on the lighting, and whispered, "Ki-yow, Olivia, what is that bony old lady's problem? Of course, I'll do it properly tomorrow, but unlike some people, I don't need to rehearse walking. I've been doing fashion shows since I was a child. My mother signed me up with a top modeling agency in Genovia when I was a baby." I glared at her. "Don't say ki-yow to me. And if my grandmother hears you call her a bony old lady, she'll throw you in the dungeon." Louisa rolled her eyes. "Oh, please. There isn't even a dungeon in this palace anymore. I heard your father converted it into a wine cellar." Sadly, this is true. It was right then that it happened. The thing that gave Louisa a complete royal wedding breakdown. There's no other way to describe it.
"Hi, Olivia,"
Prince Khalil walked over to say.
"I don't think I've had a chance to meet your friend yet."
Nishi's eyes grew about 5 sizes larger than usual. Before I could say anything, she scrambled to her feet and curtsied. Hello, Your Royal Highness," she said to Prince Khalil. "I'm Nishi Desai. I'm Olivia's friend from New Jersey."
"Hi, Nishi from New Jersey,"
Prince Khalil said with a grin. He didn't seem to notice that Louisa's face had turned bright red with rage.
"It's a pleasure to meet you. So, Princess Olivia," he said, turning back to me, "I wanted to tell you, we'll try to have all of the cages out by tonight. But we haven't caught all of your iguanas. There are always a few left over that are too smart for the live traps. Plus, there will be nests with eggs in them. We'll have to tackle those next week."
"Oh," I said. "Sure, okay. Thanks."
"Great."
He smiled at me, and I couldn't help noticing again how nice his eyes looked when he smiled. What is wrong with me?
"Well, see you down the aisle."
That was a little joke, because we kept having to walk down the aisle over and over again for rehearsal, though not together, of course. "Ha," I said, "see you down the aisle." As soon as he went back into the throne room, Nishi squealed and squeezed my arm and jumped up and down a few times. "Oh my gosh," she gushed, "a real prince. I finally met a real prince. I mean, besides your dad, and he's so cute." But I hardly noticed, because Louisa was giving me a death stare. Seriously, she looked like she was going to kill me. "What?" Louisa demanded. "Was that all about?" I should have said, "None of your business, Louisa, because I have a perfect right to talk to anyone I want to without her permission. But since I'm a princess and have compassion for others, and I know how big a crush she has on him," I said, "Louisa, Khalil is a member of the Genovian Herpetology Rescue Society, and they've been helping to remove unwanted iguanas from the palace gardens before everyone gets here for the wedding. So relax. It's not as if he likes me or anything." But I guess this was the wrong thing to say, because instead of taking my advice and relaxing, Louisa got even more mad. Her nostrils pinched together, and she said, "You? Why would someone like him ever like someone like you? Trust me, that thought never even entered my mind." That hurt my feelings a little bit, and reminded me of the mean drawing she'd made and left on my desk. Maybe that hadn't really been a joke meant to help me after all. Maybe that had been how my cousin Louisa really sees me. What do you mean, someone like me? I asked, putting my hands on my hips. What's wrong with me? What isn't wrong with you? Louisa shot back. You're the worst excuse for a princess I ever saw. You wear glasses, your hair is a curly mess, you can't speak proper Italian, and you certainly can't dance. You looked completely absurd at the performance today. I heard Nishi gasp.
That isn't true. Olivia is an amazing dancer, and I love her hair.
I saw Victorine and Marguerite exchange glances.
Yeah, Louisa, Marguerite said. I think you're being a little harsh, just because Olivia and Prince Khalil are friends.
But even though Marguerite was trying to exercise a little royal diplomacy, this turned out to be the worst thing she could have said.
Oh, Olivia and Prince Khalil are friends now? Louisa snapped. Just how friendly are you with Prince Khalil, Olivia?
What? I had no idea what she was talking about, but Marguerite and Victorine seemed to, since they exchanged meaningful looks, their eyebrows raised.
Louisa, I told you, he only came over here a few times to help get rid of our iguanas.
If all he did while he was here was get rid of your iguanas, Princess Olivia, then how come you never told me about it?
Louisa demanded.
Why was it such a secret?
It wasn't a secret, I stammered. I mean, it was a secret from my sister, because it was supposed to be a wedding surprise for her, like the presentation. But it wasn't a secret from you.
Then why didn't you tell me?
Louisa yelled. Fortunately, the only people who were around were Nishi and my cousins and a few palace staff members, not Prince Khalil or the Prime Minister or anyone else in the bridal party, since they were all still inside the throne room. Otherwise, I'd have been even more mortified.
You know I like him.
Nishi said. Not to interrupt, but Olivia told me she is just friends with Prince Khalil, if that helps.
Well, it doesn't,
Louisa said, and flipped some of her long blonde hair.
Thank you very much. And it might interest you to know, Nisha, or whatever your name is, that your friend is a boyfriend stealer.
I gasped. So did Victorine and Marguerite. So did Nishi. So did some of the palace staff members.
No, I said, feeling my eyes fill with tears. I'm not. I'm really not.
Kiao, Olivia, Louisa said. Was I ever wrong about you? I thought you and I were going to be friends, but I can see now that you're just another royal backstabber. Well, look out, because two can play at that game.
Friday, June 19th, 6:30 p.m., Royal Genovian Bedroom. Nishi says I should just ignore Louisa. She's obviously demented.
Maybe, I said. But she's still my cousin.
So what? I have a lot of cousins, too, Nishi pointed out. One of them holds the record for owning the world's largest rubber band ball. That doesn't mean I'd ever take anything he said seriously, because he's as crazy as Louisa is.
Good point.
Still, I can't help feeling terrible about what Louisa called me, a royal backstabber and a boyfriend stealer. Even if I didn't do what she accused me of doing, I don't want anyone to think badly of me, even a snob like Louisa. I felt so horrible about the whole thing that when we were all getting ready for dinner, I went down the hall from my room to Grandmère's, hoping I could ask her advice about what I should do. I've had good luck following Grandmère's advice in the past, and I knew everyone else would be busy with pre-wedding jitters. Grandmère doesn't get the jitters. Her maid answered the door, and seeing it was me, let me in. Grandmère issued a rule that I'm always allowed into her room unless she has other company. Just like I thought, no jitters. Grandmère was still in her robe and turban, applying a thick white cream to her hands and neck. Grandmère says a lady should moisturize regularly, or she'll live to regret it.
"Olivia," she said, "why aren't you getting ready for dinner? Don't tell me you're feeling nervous about the ceremony tomorrow. It's only live television. If you make a fool of yourself, someone else will soon do something even more foolish, and everyone will quickly forget all about you."
"Thanks, Grandmère," I said. "No, I'm not worried about tomorrow. Or at least I wasn't until you said that. Now I am. But I'm more worried about Luisa Ferrari."
"Luisa Ferrari."
Grandmère put down her cold cream and widened her eyes.
"What about her?"
"So I told her all about Luisa, how she always said Kiao to me, and how she was in love with Prince Khalil and thought I was in love with him too, which I told Grandmère I am definitely not, although I do like the way Prince Khalil loves iguanas and wants to save them all and is always reading books about them, and how curly his hair is, and how his dark brown eyes look when he smiles. And how even though I did not in any way steal Prince Khalil from her, Luisa thinks I'm a backstabber and that she may or may not be thinking of doing something nasty to get back at me over it. I'm not saying any of this because I want to get Luisa in trouble," I said when I was done. "I know a royal never tattles. I just think someone should know, an adult, just in case." Grandmère nodded, picked up a different jar, and began rubbing a new cream onto her face. She always says a woman should avoid three things: the sun, tanning beds, and men standing on the street selling perfume.
"Of course. I understand perfectly, and you did the right thing telling me, Olivia. None of this, of course, has anything to do with you. It's Bianca Ferrari's fault."
"It is?" I was surprised. "How?"
"Bianca Ferrari is probably filling her granddaughter's head with tales of how she should be the rightful heir to the throne, not you. Luisa's grandmother thought she would marry your grandfather someday, you see?" she said, examining her reflection in the mirror. "Oh, I suppose your grandfather was fond of her, in his way, until I came along. Then he realized what a real woman was and never looked in Bianca Ferrari's direction again."
I gasped. "Grandmère, you were a boyfriend stealer? A royal backstabber?"
"Pfft!"
She picked up a lipstick and began carefully to apply it.
"You can't steal what someone never owned in the first place. Bianca Ferrari always had beauty, but not character or common sense. And those are the things one ought to look for in a life partner, because beauty fades, but character and common sense are forever."
"Oh," I said.
"Yes, Olivia, oh. That is why your cousin is filled with so much hostility toward you, because you have both character and common sense, which Luisa, for now, seems to lack. That, in addition to the fact that you're a princess, while she's only the granddaughter of a baroness, makes her feel insecure."
I wasn't so sure about that. Luisa Ferrari seemed like the least insecure person I'd ever met. But Grandmère went on.
"Character and common sense can be learned, of course. That's what a good education is for. But right now, Luisa appears to prefer to spend her time focusing on her looks and on securing a royal title for herself, perhaps in the form of marrying a prince."
She looked at my reflection in the mirror and smiled.
"But she's young. There's still plenty of time for her to learn. And as royals ourselves, it's our duty to help guide her, Olivia, into making the right choices."
I had no idea what she was talking about. I wanted to spend as little time as possible with Louisa. But if it was for the good of the throne and the family, I guess I'd try to help. How, Grandmère?
I think both Louisa and her grandmother could learn to be a little more tolerant of others,
Grandmère said.
Especially commoners. It would be character building for them. But the only way that's going to happen is if they spend more time with them.
I thought of what Louisa had said about Rocky not being royal, and how he shouldn't even be attending the RGA. I said, I guess, but I don't see how that will ever...
Leave it to me,
Grandmère interrupted briskly, and removed her turban to reveal a perfectly coiffed bun.
Maxine, my tiara, please.
Yes, Your Highness.
Maxine, Grandmère's maid, went to Grandmère's jewel closet to fetch her tiara.
Olivia, you had better go to your own room and get your own tiara. This is a formal dinner tonight. Hats and bats, my girl. Hats and bats.
Hats and bats is code in the palace for tiara and scepter. Yes, Grandmère, I said, and went back to my room, thinking about everything she'd said. I don't know if I believe Louisa Ferrari is jealous of my character and common sense, and my royal title, of course. I think Princess Komiko is right, and Louisa is mean because her parents don't get along, and she's mad about it, and thinks it's okay to take that anger out on other people. Maybe we're both right. Like I told Prince Khalil, people can be more than one thing. Human beings are complicated. But in the end, it doesn't really matter, because no matter why Louisa is the way she is, I'm the one who has to deal with it. Friday, June 19th, 8:30 p.m., Royal Banquet Hall, pre-nuptial dinner. I know I'm not supposed to be writing in my notebook at the table, but I have to, because I'm sure Louisa is up to something. All night long, she's been giving me dirty looks from across the dining room. Then again, that might be because I'm sitting next to Michael's mom, Dr. Moskovitz, who really is very nice and funny, while Louisa has to sit by some old boring friend that her grandmother invited, who won't stop talking about the stock market. Ha 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 ha. Oops. I know it's wrong to gloat over the misfortune of others, but it's hard not to be having fun at your sister's prenuptial dinner, where everyone is toasting the bride and groom and telling funny stories about how they first kissed in a penguin enclosure at the zoo. Nishi thinks this is very romantic, and went to something called a cultural diversity dance, and how Michael used to be in a band. Even Rocky seems to be having fun, and he hates big formal dinners like this. But he gets to sit next to Prince Khalil, so basically, Rocky is in heaven. I never noticed before, maybe because I've never seen him in a tuxedo, but Prince Khalil looks a lot like one of those Bollywood movie stars that Nishi is always going on about, the ones who can sing and dance at the same time, unlike me. And he's being so nice to Rocky. Some boys aren't nice to other boys who are younger than they are. Sometimes they ignore them or even bully them. My step-cousin Justin used to. But Khalil is being very patient and kind to Rocky, even showing him which spoon to use for the soup and making sure he knows which water glass to drink out of so he doesn't make the same mistake I did the other night. Aww. Not that I like him or anything. Ugh, there's Louisa giving me the death stare again. What is her problem? I should probably tell someone besides Grandmère what's going on. Someone like Lars, Mia's bodyguard, the head of the Royal Genovian Guard. But no, that might be overreacting a little. Probably Grandmère is right, and Louisa only needs our guidance and example as royals. My job as a junior bridesmaid and princess
is to help my sister avoid trouble during her wedding, not make it for her. And I'm sure Grandmère's plan, whatever it is going to work. So I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I mean, really, Louisa is a bridesmaid too. The wedding is when she's going to have her big opportunity to show off her Claudio evening gown with the detachable skirt in front of everyone. What is she going to do? Try to ruin it? Of course not. Friday, June 19th, 11:45 p.m., Royal Genovian Bedroom. I went to bed early, or tried to anyway, because Grandmère said we should all get our beauty sleep, or every line on our faces would show up tomorrow on people's televisions while we were being filmed at the wedding, at least the high-definition TVs. But just after I fell asleep, I had the worst, most terrible nightmare. I was in my purple bridesmaid dress, and I looked really, really amazing in it. And the wedding was about to start. But all of a sudden, I couldn't find Snowball. And this was bad, because for some reason, she was supposed to walk down the aisle with me, in the dream. In real life, pets aren't allowed to be in the wedding, which I think is terrible, and so does Mia. For a while, she was saying it would be funny if Fat Louie could ride down the aisle on the back of her train, until Sebastiano pointed out that this would ruin her veil because it's made of hand-stitched lace and it would tear apart if a 20-pound cat sat on it and got dragged down a red carpet. Not to mention, Fat Louie would never sit still for it. So, in my dream, I was running all around the palace, looking everywhere for Snowball, calling, "Snowball! Snowy! Here, Snowball! Come here, girl! Where are you, girl?" And then, when I finally found her in Chrissy's stable, I was so relieved. Until the worst thing happened. She came running up to me and jumped up excitedly, which I've been trying to train her not to do, and got dirty paw marks all over my beautiful purple bridesmaid dress. It was horrible. I looked like a total mess. But there was no time to clean off the paw marks, and they wouldn't have come out anyway, because they were everywhere. Since it was time to walk down the aisle, and Mia was calling me. So I had to hold my sister's bridal train with dirty paw marks all over me. And everyone was staring and whispering about me and what a failure I was as a princess, in spite of all the training that Mia and Dad and Grandmère and the RGA and everyone had given me, and how I'd ruined the whole wedding. And then the dream shifted to a news report of a traffic jam due to all the people who were leaving Genovia, vowing never to come back because of me. Fortunately, that's when I woke up. I was so relieved to find Snowball curled up next to me, asleep in a little ball, without the slightest hint of dirt on her, that I grabbed and hugged her. And now I'm going to make sure she stays locked in my room all night and all morning if it's the last thing I do. I won't be the one to ruin this wedding. I won't.